Luke, you've been taking a look at this US Supreme Court ruling that's rejected the president's bid to restrict who can become a US citizen.
That's right, Mel. The Supreme Court keeping the president's power in check here, at least on this issue of birthright citizenship. This is the right of people born in the United States to claim US citizenship. If I take you back to the president's first day in office in his second term last year, it was one of the first things that he tried to strike down by executive order.
This next order relates to the definition of birthright citizenship.
That's a good one. Birthright. That's a big one.
What about that one in the court? That one is likely to be.
Could be. We think we have good grounds, but you could be right. I mean, you'll find out.
Bit of foreshadowing there from the US president. So he has falsely argued that the US was the only country in the world with birthright citizenship. It is also a practice in Canada and other parts of the Americas. And his administration has also argued that it increases illegal immigration. He'd often throw phrases around like birthright tourism, implying that there was this huge issue of people coming to the US on tourist visas to have babies and then claim citizenship for their children. The US Center for Immigration Studies estimates that, you know, less than 1% of babies born in the States every year fall into that category. So not the huge issue that the administration says it is. And this isn't, you know, some new practice, Mel. It has been a feature of the US Constitution for more than 160 years.
Yeah, well, what's the background here? Because it's in the Constitution and the Supreme Court's looked at this before, right?
It did. More than 100 years ago, 120-odd years ago, in 1898, there was this case, the United States versus Wong Kim Ark. It set this historic precedent with the Supreme Court, solidifying the rights of children born in the U.S. to be U.S. citizens. This guy was born in San Francisco in 1873 to Chinese-born parents. When he turned 21, he then visited China with them. And when he tried to come back to the U.S., he was denied re-entry on the grounds that he wasn't a U.S. citizen. It eventually got to the Supreme Court. A 6-2 majority ruled in his favour because he was born in the United States. The ruling carved out various exemptions, including for those who were children of parents working in the US in diplomatic or official capacities for a foreign government. But there was friction. There was a key phrase in the citizenship clause in the Constitution that naturalized citizens were, quote, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. If we fast forward 120 years, that phrase has come up once again. The wording has been a real point of contention. Lawyers for the US government a few months back arguing that subject to the jurisdiction thereof really allowed the government to deny citizenship to children born to parents in the US illegally. If you look at some of the dissenting notes, Judge Thomas said that, you know, this interpretation encouraged birth tourism. There was another, Judge Alito, in his dissenting remarks, saying that the ruling was a serious mistake. But overall, Mel, this has been rebutted by the Supreme Court, and it's worth remembering that there is a 6-3 conservative majority of the Supreme Court, so a pretty serious loss for Donald Trump. He now says he wants to pursue this through legislation in Congress. Overturning the Constitution is difficult. You need a 2-thirds majority, and that is in both houses. So the thinking is, Mel, that the administration could maybe try and legislate an exemption to this, and that might be an easier path for them.
Gee, it's certainly not going to be an easy path. The splits on the Supreme Court are really interesting. As you say, there is a conservative dominance on the bench, but he clearly lost it. But then Justices Thomas and Alito are of the most conservative and the most likely to be supporting a Donald Trump proposition. So seeing how this is playing out in the dynamics on the court bench is just fascinating.
And it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out in Congress as well, because we know that if you look at the war in Iran, most recently there was a rebuke in Congress to the president and his war in the Middle East. So will this become another issue in Congress as well? We'll have to wait and see.
And will this be where everyone finding a little more power and willingness to speak up to executive power as the political dynamics change?